Hey everyone, welcome back to our fourth session in our series of The Language of the Business. We've been covering a lot of territory from session one, session two, and yesterday session three, or maybe if you listened to it 5 minutes ago, you know, that may not be yesterday for you. Either way, we've given you a lot of great content to help you on your journey of really mastering the language of the network marketing business so that you can go off there with confidence, knowing that you're going to be able to address whatever conversation you're going to have with your prospects. Now, how do you feel so far? Is this starting to build up your confidence a little bit? Have you been practicing the words that I've shared with you? Have you started to implement them in your business yet? This is something where it's a participatory experience, not something where you just sit here and listen to me. I want you to really go out there and start saying these words, start having conversations with people about your business, and start to implement what you learned here. Master this first. Now listen, I'll share this with you. You can go off there and add your own spin on things as you go. But you know what's interesting about that? There are a lot of people that want to take the information that they hear, whether it's from me or from a different trainer or whoever the case may be, and they want to add their own spin on it immediately. They don't want to master what they've learned first and then make it better. And then they wonder why they didn't get the results that they wanted in the business. Guys, there's a reason why you're going through this training, and that is to get the most powerful words. Are they the best out there? There's many other people that can probably give you some amazing words to use as well. But these words are proven. So my recommendation to you, as was in the beginning, as still now, is to learn this information as it's been given to you. Don't try and add anything to it. Don't try and take anything from it. Go off there and master this and then build on top of that to really get you to the next level as you've mastered this. So do it right before you do it better. All right. Does that make sense? So now they're on the same page. This is our last segment together, and we've got a lot of ground to cover in a short period of time. But just as we get started, let's just do a quick recap about the journey that we've been on so far. You know, in audio one, we talked about the invitation process and the words to use to invite someone to take a look at your business and how it's actually an exposure process and to use tools and that whole process. We then went on to following up effectively, where we talked about how the fortune is in the follow-up and how to actually follow up with someone properly. And sometimes when you're following up with people, you have to deal with objections. So in our previous session, session three, we talked about overcoming objections. We ran through several different major scenarios, many different objections that you're probably going to come across as your career at least once or twice as a network marketing professional. I mean, a lot more than that, obviously, but at least now you're going to be equipped for them. So you'll know exactly what to say, how to respond to them, so you can maintain your posture. And all throughout this, we've built on the concept of really not trying to convince people to join your business. Your focus is on sifting and sorting, not trying to turn an oyster that doesn't have a pearl into it into one that does, right? We talked about that already. So hopefully that lesson really sunk home. If you're talking to somebody and they are a cynic, realize that first and realize they probably just want to get an argument with you. A skeptic, on the other hand, is most people out there. They just need more information. And so don't take it personal if they have some objections. Don't take it personal if they ask you some questions. Focus on giving them the information and guiding them with powerful questions like we talked about in our previous session. In today's session, we're going to dive into closing, how to close like a boss, all right? And the first thing I want to talk about just as we start our conversation is that a lot of times you talk about closing people, kind of doesn't sound that good. I got this, I'm going to close her, I'm going to close them. It doesn't sound that good. Basically, what that means, though, is to help someone make a decision, lead someone to the through the process of making a decision of joining your business or buying your product. That's really what it comes down to. This is so fundamental in this whole process of enrolling and prospecting, because if you don't actually help your new person make a product purchase or join your business with their package, whatever it may be, and they don't actually pay money for the products, you're not going to earn a commission off of that. So all this work is culminating in actually being able to close people or help them sign up and enroll. So we're going to talk through the language of how to do this effectively, but I'm also going to talk with you some best practices to use in your business. I'll share with you how I enroll people, the process I've learned that's worked the best for me, and some of the things that don't work so well that you definitely want to stay away from so you can learn from both sides. But some key pieces to talk about here is that closing is a good thing. Bottom line, helping someone start their own business, helping someone get started on your products, that's a good thing. A lot of people, myself included, when I first got started, that right at that point where there was decision time, when the presentation was done, or when I was following up with somebody, And I didn't know how to move that conversation to the point of actually getting this person to give me their order, like to actually sign up. Like, how does that happen? I didn't know how to do that. Didn't have any sales background, didn't have any of that training. So wasn't very good at it at all. And so I messed up a lot with a lot of people that probably would have signed up if I just done it the right way. So all this work that you're going to do of going out there and going through the invitation process, following up effectively, overcoming objections, we still have to go one step further, which is to get them enrolled in your business as a customer or as a distributor. So that's a good thing. Don't be shy about it. Don't be shy about it. And then this really comes down to having that belief that what you are offering someone else really is good for them. If you don't have that belief and that conviction that your products are good, that your products will make a difference in their life, that your business will make a difference in their life, then this is not going to go well for you at all. You have to have that conviction in place already. At the same time, here's what I want you to think about. You're going to lead your prospect. You've already been leading them through this whole sequence. See, they don't understand that you're moving them through a sequence. The invitation process, the follow-up, the overcoming any objections, and now the close. They didn't realize it was a sequence. They're just going through a conversation with you about a business and about maybe changing their life or improving their lifestyle, right? They don't know there's a sequence, but you do. You do know what phase you're at right now in the conversation. And if you did all the previous three steps effectively, then closing or getting someone to give their order, getting signed up, will just happen just as a matter of fact. That's just the point of the conversation that we're in. You've led them up until this point. But what most people do is they then give back all the power of that whole conversation back to their prospect when it comes time to signing up. And I know where that comes from, because if you're like me who wanted to take time about making a decision, wanted to talk to friends and family and get everyone's opinion, that was me in the beginning. I did not make a decision very fast when it came to actually getting started in the business, even though I knew that I needed money, even though I knew that I had the opportunity to work with someone who could teach me how to be successful, even though I knew that I had no other stream of income that I needed to make this happen, I still wanted to think about it. And if there's any other objection, I guess that we could have covered in our previous session was like, you know, let me think about it. And so one of the things that I'm glad we're talking about this now, because this really comes down to getting someone started. So we're going to talk about that. Let me think about it too. But I'm going to share with you where that comes from in your prospect and how you can deal with that. See, what I believe is that the objections or the challenges that we actually experience a lot of times in our conversations with our prospects, we actually create based on how we're feeling and based on what we're thinking. And so if you, like me, took a lot of time to make a decision to get started in your business and you had to think about it, then for you, that's a natural occurrence. That's just okay to do. And so when your prospect then comes up with, you know, I got to think about it, you let them off the hook because that's what you did. Or when they say, you know what, I can't sign up right now, but I'll sign up in a couple of weeks or in a couple of months. And then, you know, if that's what you did when you first saw your company, you'll find out that you'll actually then attract a lot of people who do the same thing. It's really, really freaky how that happens. But for me, when I first got started, 20 presentations said no. They basically, a lot of them said I had to think about it. And that was because I said I had to think about it for a while too. And I had taken my time when it came down to getting started. What I will share with you is this: wealth moves with speed, that leadership moves with speed. It's not something that you can hesitate a whole lot about. You have to obviously take in the information, make the decision based on what you know, and go forward with it. But for you, if you took time getting started in your business, then we have to create a new beginning for you, because it has to be okay for you to see the information about your company one time, make a decision right away, and move forward and sign up. It's really, really key, guys, because what you see as an objection for yourself, you might project onto somebody else. Now, if you saw the information right away and signed up right away, good for you. But most people didn't. And so I want to share with you this, is that it is okay for someone to see the information and get started. You have to assume that, but it has to be okay for you. So let me give you permission, if you needed it, that it's okay for someone to see the information and sign up. I remember when I first got started and I saw some top recruiters enrolling people, and I'm like, man, those people didn't need time to think about it. You didn't give them really a whole lot of time to really go through this whole process of research and all this kinds of stuff. And so, like, no, why should we? Why should we? Because this prospect needed something. My business can help them get that. That's all that really matters. you know, the ingredients and all that other stuff, you know, those are all parts of the conversation for sure. Or if it's a product or service, you know, benefits and all that kind of thing make a difference a little bit. But the real difference maker is that prospect understanding that this opportunity can change your life or can get them from where they are now to where it is that they want to go. And when you've gotten to that point, all the other facts don't really matter. They really don't. The only facts that matter is what's in it for your prospect. That's it. And when I started to understand that, I realized that it was okay to expect someone, after going through this process, after getting their questions answered, after going through the three steps we just talked about, it's okay for them to start up. It was okay for them to sign up right away. And it was like a relief for me then, because there was all this pressure on me at that point because I hadn't signed up right away, because I had pulled in my own, for whatever reason, this decision-making process where I asked a bunch of people who didn't know anything about this business what their opinion was, all right? So I'm giving you permission right now to assume that once someone has gone through these steps, gotten their questions answered, the next step is for them to get started. The next step is not for them to go get more information. The next step is for them to get started. This is key when it comes to closing, and closing like a boss is that expectation that this person is going to get started. They just told you they're broke. They just told you they're frustrated. They just told you what their life is like when you built that rapport and you started to ask powerful questions with them. They just told you why they needed to get started. So you, as the leader in this conversation and as the leader of your team, need to do one simple thing. Assume the close. Just assume that they're going to get started. If your mind starts to think about, okay, you know, they've seen, they've got the information, they seem excited about it, they've gotten the questions answered, maybe they'll sign up. That's not good enough. Your expectation has to be that they will sign up. That goes all the way down to having the applications available for them. If you're sitting down with them one-on-one, showing up to that presentation with applications printed off with a pen that works, ready for them to sign up. If it's over the phone, having your website already pulled up so that you can put their information into that website for them. See what I'm saying? Expecting that they will do it, assuming they will get started. They're following your lead. And remember, people follow people based on their level of conviction. And if your level of conviction and assumption is to the point of, yeah, get started, then it's going to be a natural next step for them. But if your posture is anything but that, you're going to struggle no matter what words they give with you. It's all the psychology first and then the language second. So now that you've gotten that, closing is a good thing, as well as you're going to be leading your prospect. Expect for them to follow you and expect for them to get started. Let's dive into the details on how to close like a boss. First off, let me talk about what not to do. Some mistakes that you can learn from my experience, the experience of other networkers. First off, I just talked about really assuming the close. The mistake there would be the opposite, just assuming that they need more information, assuming that they're not ready to get started. That's one of the first mistakes that most people make after they've gone through this process with their prospect, is just assuming that they're not ready to get started. So do the opposite. Assume that they're ready to get started. Another mistake is scheduling a later time. Now that they're ready, this is with a prospect who's ready to get started, is scheduling another time to follow up with them to get them started. You've got them right now. They're excited about the opportunity. If you give 24 to 48 hours before you get talk to them again about the business and try and get them signed up, then you'll find that they'll probably have already lost interest in it. Their excitement level has gone down. At the point that you're at right now in this conversation, their excitement level is at a 10. It should be by now. If you've moved them through this escalating process, their excitement and energy should be up about your opportunity, about what it can do for them. But now, if you give them time, 24 to 48 hours, whatever, to think about it, all this other stuff, and I'll talk about how to overcome that in a second, then you're going to find that you'll lose a lot of people. And so this is why it's so fundamental to keep the process moving as fast as possible. And by assuming the close, you position yourself to help them take that natural next step, which is to sign up and get started, right? Now, that's a mistake, is to just let the sign-up process go, continue on. Like, oh, okay, we'll talk in a couple days, in a week, or whatever. No. All right, so let me deal with this objection right now of, I've got to think about it. You know, we didn't talk about this late in the previous session, even though this could be included there for a reason, because now I'm going to show you how to close with this particular objection in play. I have to think about it. Now, what that means, this is something that's really interesting. When someone says I have to think about it, you know, what's kind of true but kind of not is this fact. Yes, they probably have to think a little bit. But you know what? They don't have to think so much about it that they have to spend a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, a month, whatever it is, thinking about it. Nobody thinks about stuff that long. Decisions are made in an instant, aren't they? When you decide how much what you're going to have for dinner tonight, does it take you more than a day to decide what you're going to eat? When you decide about, you know, maybe when you decided on anything else, even just like watching TV or things like that, decisions happen very quickly. Now, bigger decisions maybe take more time in terms of getting information, all right? Maybe what school you're going to go to or what flight you should take for the best deal. But you don't decide about whether you're going to go to school or not. You are deciding on which school you're going to. Now, that's very, very important in this conversation with someone thinking about starting a business. Which part exactly are they thinking about when they say, I have to think about it? What do you think? Or if you said, I have to think about it to the person who's enrolling you, which part did you have to think about? Did you have to think about the fact that you needed more money? Did you have to think about the fact that you needed a plan? You didn't have any savings. Maybe you actually said that as a knee-jerk reaction, because remember we said earlier in our previous session that all objections pretty much are just a knee-jerk reaction. There's always something deeper underlying what the person is saying that you need to make sure you identify first in order to really be able to move forward with them next. So what could it be? I had to think about it. Well, it could be the person doesn't have enough of the money and they have to figure out how they're going to come up with the money. It could be that they don't have enough time, they think, so they have to figure out how they're going to come up with time. It could be all the other objections that we already talked about, all right? So remember what we say when someone says, I have to think about it, what's our automatic response then? Okay, cool. What do you mean by that, right? Ask them specifically, what do they mean by that? I have to think about it. Don't just assume you know what that means, and don't just assume they know what that means. They probably don't. Now they're going to have a chance to communicate with themselves and with you about what they really mean by, I've got to think about it. So there's several different things that come out of this part. And you'll find they come back all to the other objections that we already covered. And, you know, the money, the time, the people, all those kinds of stuff. Basically, they don't have enough belief yet that it's possible for them. So what do? We go right back to the questions that we've already talked about. So tell me more about that. Now they're going to start to dive deeper into that objection and start to cut off the veneer and start to really start to think for them for a second about what it is. And you'll start to realize who's serious and who's not. You know, a lot of times people say, I have to think about it just as an excuse to try and get you off their back. So now you can get a chance to really see if they're serious about it. And so when someone says, I have to think about it, this is when I really start to ask some pressing questions, but I'm looking very, very quickly to figure out if this is a real prospect or just a suspect. Because some people just don't want to make decisions. They know their whole world is falling around them. They know that things are going bad for them. They know they have to make more money. They see there's an opportunity in front of them. You basically led a horse to water, but they will refuse to drink, because you cannot force a horse that doesn't want to drink water. You can't, all right? So what you want to do then is be very, very attentive to what they say next and how they answer the question. If they say, I have to think about it, oh, well, you know, I have to talk to my husband. Now you found the real objection. Now you found the real objection. Oh, you know, or I've tried things like this before. I have to think about if I could do it again. Now you found the real objection. They don't believe that it's possible for them yet based on their previous experience. We already talked about how to overcome those. Bottom line, with that question of I have to think about it, respond every single time with your own question of what do you mean by that? Tell me more about that. And they'll tell you the real objection. I already covered that with you. If they still sit back and say, I have to think about it still, if they say, well, I just have to think, I'm not accustomed to making decisions right away. It's okay, listen, I can totally respect that. I totally can. Which part about what you just saw do you have to think about? All right? If you don't know yet which part of the bit of their interest in the business or the product, this is the time to ask them that question too. Which part are you thinking the most about getting started with, the business or the product? I ask them that. So I'm not saying, okay, it's never a situation of they're not thinking about joining or signing up as a customer. It's always between one or the other, as being a business partner of ours or a new customer of ours. It's always between those two. It's called an alternative closing question. And I mentioned that previously. An alternative closing question basically gives the option between two yeses, never a yes and a no. Alternative closing question means the alternate of the one answer is still a yes. So you still win, okay? So this situation is either between being a customer or being a new distributor. That's it. So what were you thinking about, becoming a new distributor or becoming a new customer? And now let them answer. I'm thinking about getting started in the business. Oh, that's awesome. Why? That's what I'll automatically start to say. So when they say, I'm thinking about it, I'm going to help them think about it right now. Listen, if I let them go for 24 to 48 hours to think about it, I've lost that person, and they just lost out on a massive opportunity to change their lives. They did. So I'm not going to let somebody, because I know that, they don't know that yet. I know what I have could change their life. So I'm going to treat it like it could, and I'm not going to just let the conversation just go there. So remember, the person who asks the questions controls the conversation. So again, I'll ask them, okay, perfect. So you're thinking about joining the business. Why? So why would you join the business? Is now they're telling me why they would join versus me trying to sell them on why they need to join right now. So let's go through this. Why? Well, you know, I need to make more money, and I think this would be a good way to do all that kind of, you know, to be able to help me do that. And, I see there's an opportunity, but I just want to think about it. I don't normally make a lot, you know, fast decisions like that. Oh, so I say, okay, cool. I can respect that. Sounds like you have some more questions, right? Notice this. Now that I know that they're interested in the business, and now they've kind of committed to that by saying, you know, I've just got some more, I just have to think about it because I don't normally make decisions that fast. What they're telling me is I need more information, possibly. There may be more objections still there that we haven't gotten to the root of just yet, but we're going to find out what they are pretty quickly, for sure. So that's why I ask them this question, the follow-up question. Sounds like you have more questions that you need help with. What's your first question? So now I'll sit down with my pencil or pen and my notebook, and I'll just look down at the notebook and just wait for them to give me their first question, all right? Because they said they had to think about it. So I'm going to help answer their questions, because it's thinking is asking questions, all right? You and I probably know that, they know that too. But what they're going to ask themselves, can I do this? Can I do all this? Or they're going to ask them questions. Let's talk about it right now. So what's your first question? Okay, perfect. What's your second question? Okay, perfect. What's your third question? All right, or as long as it takes. And a lot of times it doesn't go a lot more than just two or three questions. It really doesn't. And I said, okay, look, if we can help you answer all these three questions and help you think through this process of what it is that you said you're going to think about, if we help you with that right now, would there be any other thing holding you back from signing up right away if you are really comfortable with the answers and you felt good about it? Notice what I just did. I just took the whole scenario around and flipped it and said, listen, you're looking at asking some questions. You have some information you need. You need to think about it. I didn't say it in as many words, but this is what I'm saying. And I'm going to help you with those questions. If I help you with those questions and you're happy with the answer, you're ready to sign up. Now, this is where we're going to get to the real root of the matter of if this is the only objection that they have, that it's just about, I just have to think about it. Now the real story will come out, because if they don't have the money, now they'll tell me, oh, well, I really can't afford it right now. So now I know that the objection was, I don't have the money. And they were just disguising it as I have to think about it, right? So really what they want to think about is how to come up with the money. And that's still an assumption. I don't want to assume anything about this prospect. I want to know that they really want to get started in the business and they just need to find the money. Because this, again, desire is the main thing here, guys. So now we've gotten to the root of it. Now they've told me, oh, yeah, you know, it's really, you can answer my questions, but I still don't have the money to sign up. Okay, now I've got that. The other part to it is, yeah, well, I still have to ask my husband, or, you know, I still have to kind of go through all this. Now they give me whatever objection we already talked about, and then you would just lead them through the same process we talked about previously. If they have a spouse or someone that they want to talk to, what I recommend doing is I say, yeah, absolutely talk to your spouse. I wouldn't tell someone not to talk to their spouse. Like, I know there's some people that say don't do it, but this is a business. This is not like a purchase. It's still a transaction, but it's not like buying some shoes or buying something. It is a business. And so if you treat it as just buying a product, then the person's going to treat it like that. And they'll return it when they get home and their husband says, what's this on the credit card statement? Or if their wife says, what is this? No, you can't. You don't have time for that. We don't have money for that. You need to send that stuff back because they never talked about it. You know, I would feel bad if I didn't talk about a life decision like building a new business with my wife before I started doing it. So I definitely recognize that. But I also want to be involved in that conversation because I know this prospect doesn't know enough about the business to be convincing to their spouse. They're not signed up yet. They just saw the information. They're not necessarily the best representation of the opportunity. All right. So what I would do is say, listen, I totally respect that. If I was trying to make a decision about signing up, I would definitely want to talk to my wife too. Here's what we should do. You know, I have an idea because I think it will actually help your spouse. Just like it helped my spouse when we were looking at this business, to be able to get the information directly from the source. Would that make a difference where they could actually hear from us or maybe even get some of their questions answered too? so that it's not just all on you to try and convince them at all. And that's the bottom line. If they say don't do it, then don't do it. I tell people that right away. If they're married, I said, because guys, I've seen relationships of people that are married in the business where one husband or the wife is completely against the business. And it just is extremely difficult to make that work. Extremely, extremely difficult. So I want to save them some time and some pain and some money, and myself some time and some pain and some money, because as their sponsor, I get dragged into that conversation a lot of the time too. So I might as well be involved from the beginning. This is just being smart. This is being smart. Gone are the days of just trying to convince somebody just to get in, guys. You're really looking to build an army of leaders, of people that are all the way invested in something. This is not just about pulling the wool over somebody's eyes and trying to get them to sign up. We're not looking at that. We're looking to build leaders. So have that conversation, and have them send the tools to the spouse. See if you can sit down with their spouse and show the presentation to them for this prospect. Answer the questions right there on the spot and get them both on board. Now, other thing too, when working with spouses, it's important to figure out, because you'll never know who is the dreamer in that situation. So if you just leave it to chance, or if you just try to get them signed up without actually communicating with their spouse might actually be the person who's actually would be the most excited about the business, who would be the most aggressive about pursuing the business as well. But if you create tension because of rushing the one spouse into the business, then they may never see the full opportunity. You never know who's the real dreamer in that couple. It could be both. It could be just one or the other. But you want to make sure that you have an opportunity to find out who's the dreamer. There are people on my team where I thought I was signing up the husband, and it actually ended up the wife signed up with them because of showing the information to both parties. And it was the wife that actually ended up killing the business. It's just amazing. You just never, never know. So definitely don't miss that one. It's a very big part of working with people. Okay, but now we've kind of dug a little deeper from our original conversation of, you know, I just have to think about it. Now, you're going to have some people that gave you that objection of, you know, of a spouse or whatever the case may be. You have to run this by this person or all that kind of stuff. And or the other scenarios we talked about already. You already know how to run through those. So I'm not going to spend time on that because this is all about closing. But this is very, very important. And I wanted to run through these scenarios so that you know exactly how to play them out. So you know how to handle someone if they have a spouse, to sit down with the spouse as well. Show them the tools, show them the information, run it as if that spouse is brand new, which they are, to the information. But if someone is just stalling and just saying, listen, I really have to think about it, and you've already asked them, okay, what part do you have to think about? What's your first question? And you start writing the questions down and you ask them that follow-up question. Okay, perfect. If we can help answer these questions for you and you're excited and the answers make sense for you, is there anything else to keep you from getting started? A lot of times you'll get the response of, no, that's it. Those are really my questions. Now you know then that, okay, perfect. All we got to do is just answer these questions and they're going to get started. So get the questions answered. Boom, 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 boom. Walk through them. Walk through those questions with them, with your upline, get those questions answered, and then go into the close process, which I'm going to touch on, which we're going to really spend more time on here in a second. But before that, before I even get through that, because there's so many different scenarios here that I'm weaving together for you, the first part was I have to think about it. So I have a spouse I have to show this to, you know, or whatever other objection was the real objection, which we already covered. What you want to do now in this situation where the person says, yeah, this is it. That's the only thing. I just got some questions and then we answer them. That's maybe true for a large amount of people, but there'll still be another scenario where some people say, no, that's not, that's fine. I'm just going to go think about it. I'm just going to do my research. That always cracks me up because what that means is, they're going to try and go on Google and try and trust the internet to tell them whether it's a good opportunity or not. It's just, it's ignorant, but it's again coming from fear and from people wanting to feel like they're in control. So I totally get it. So they say, no, that's fine. And I say, listen, okay, great. And listen, maybe this isn't for you. I'll automatically take it away from them right on the spot. Say, listen, maybe this isn't for you. That's totally cool. And I say, listen, I know you've got some questions. We'd love to help you with those questions right now. But we're, you know, at the same time, we're also looking for people that are serious. And I go back to their why. I put it right back on what they told me from our whole recruiting process up until this point of why they'd be interested in the business, from the follow-up and everything. And I start laying out, we're looking for people that are ready for, if they said that they wanted to retire their family, and, you know, that are really serious about wanting to retire their family. And I start painting the picture around that, or retire their parents, retire their, you know, whatever it is, retire themselves, or whatever their why is. I hammer back on that point and say, we're looking for people that are absolutely serious about doing that. And I talk about their why and are ready to take action on that. Is that you? Now, sometimes that'll flesh people out. Sometimes they'll say, that's absolutely me. You know what? You're right. And they're ready to get going. Some other times, they'll say, oh, no, I still got to think about it. Now I know that I have someone who's probably, I brought them to the water, but there isn't a whole lot that I can do to really get them over the hurdle just yet. Their clock may not be at 12 o'clock right now. Maybe it's at 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock, really. And it's just a matter of just following up with them. So what I'll do then is I'll make sure I give them the information and schedule a time for us to follow up with. And say, okay, so what information do you need that I can give you right now, that I can give to you? Some people will say, oh, you know, these are the comp plan or this and that. And then the conversation still continues right there. You see how that goes? And I still keep the conversation going right on the spot. Others will just say, that you can tell they're just not interested. I cut them loose. And I say, okay, perfect. Here's this information right now. Here's some samples. Let's touch base in like tomorrow. What's the best time to reach you? Morning, afternoon, or evening? I give them the opportunity to choose. By the way, when you're setting an appointment with somebody, always ask them that. What's the best time to reach you? Morning, afternoon, or evening? If you say, what's the best time to reach you, then you haven't what we call an alternative closing question. And since this is all about closing, I'm going to share with you even pieces from maybe our previous sessions about scheduling and all this kind of stuff. But all of these pieces are closing. You're constantly closing someone. You're constantly leading them in the terms of making a decision through the entire process. And using alternative closing questions is a very, very powerful tool. But even in the invitation process, you're going to be doing that. Even in the follow-up, you're going to be doing that. Overcoming objections, you're going to be doing that. You're leading people through this process. And by asking these powerful closing questions, even though there's like many closes, because you're getting them to make a decision right there on the spot and answer a question. That's building up what we call yes momentum for you. So as you keep them making a decision between yes, 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 now it's very hard for them after having done that several times to suddenly say no. It's very, very hard. If you have a group of people that have been saying yes, 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 and suddenly the next question they say no, it's very, very hard for them to say no. Because it's just they've been building up what we call yes momentum. That momentum carries over. Very, very powerful tool that you want to be using. And so if you notice, all throughout this training, I've been using what we call tie-down questions. Isn't it? Couldn't it? Shouldn't it? Don't you get it? Do you see how powerful that would be? You see that would be great for your business, don't you? These are all little tie-down questions that I'm adding into our conversation, building yes momentum. Even though this is a training, I want to get you engaged in the information. I want to get you engaged in what I'm saying, because you could be dozing off right now. You could be driving down a road. You could be at a gym, not paying full attention. I want to get your attention. And so I'll ask you a question that you have to respond to. That's another technique as well that you can use through your entire conversation, using those what we call mini closes or tie down questions, in addition to using these alternative closing questions we just talked about. All right. Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. So you're setting the appointment. What's the best time to reach you? Don't ask, when can I call you? Or, you know, what's a good time for you? Then they'll have to think, okay, wow, I got kids practice tomorrow night. I got TV at this time. I got this meeting. I got work. Now they're going to think, oh, I'm busy. I don't have time. Because that's what they just saw in their schedule. But when you say, what's the best time? You ask them a better question. You're going to get a better answer. Morning, afternoon, or evening? Oh, evening's better. Okay, cool. All right, I can do after 7 o'clock. Before 9, does that work better for you? Or before 9 or right around 7 o'clock? Which one works best for you? So now, again, you're giving them options again. This is still part of the closing process, and this is something you can be using at any other point during your conversation, but it's so powerful in creating that influence in that conversation. You guys getting this? Okay, perfect. So now here we go. Now we've already run through that scenario where now this person is definitely still saying they want more information, and you're going to, you know, schedule time to follow up with them. But let's say that you actually got someone who you said, yes, I've got some questions, I'm answering my questions, and, there's nothing else. There's no other reason to keep me from getting started. Okay, so you answer their questions. Maybe you get them on a three-way call. You answer their questions. Okay, what ingredients does the product have? Okay, which product? You look it up real quick, show them. Okay, perfect. Okay, good. Next question. Boom, boom, boom. You're going through all these different questions. Answer those questions right there on the spot. Then, as soon as you're done with the last question, all right, here's what you do. Awesome, we're done. Which package are you looking at getting started with? That's my closing question. Once I've gotten someone all the way through this process, and I can tell that they're getting ready, that we're right at this point. Remember, The first part was the invitation, second was the follow-up, third was overcome the objections, and fourth was the closing. You may not have objections with every single prospect, but that's the typical framework of your conversation through the whole recruiting process, all right? So now my first question, remember, I don't do a whole lot of saying other than asking questions. So my first question to them when it comes to the closing process, now that we've whittled down all the way through there, is to simply, first off, assume they're going to get started. And when I assume that, then that means that I have to ask them a question based on that assumption. And that question is, which package are you getting started with? Which package are you getting started with? You're getting started with the little one, whatever that may be in your comp plan, to kind of get test the waters, try things out. Or are you going to get started with let's say it's the platinum package, just for the sake of our conversation, the $499 or $1,000 package or whatever, you know, the big package, your company. Don't just say the price points. Tell them the values. Again, remember, people think in terms of cost and things in terms of value. So if you tell them, if you're going to get started with a $1,000 package, you're going to start with a $100 package. Most people are going to say $100 package just because it's cheaper, not necessarily because it has the most value. So speak in terms of value to them. So are you going to get started with the little package, kind of test the water, get started, get a little bit of products, get a feel for it? Or are you going to be really serious about your goals and go right back to what they told you they needed to do and accomplish in their business in order for them to be successful and feel like this business is worth their time? Or if it's retire sooner, pay off some debt, whatever their why is, I always relate the big package as being the bridge between where they are now to where it is that to where they want to go. And that's how I do it. So I focus on this. So would you like to get started with, or would you get started with the, let's say, the $999 platinum package, which positions you for the most amount of money the fastest so that you can retire sooner, spend more time with your kids, and really have that financial nest egg in place that you told me you wanted so badly. Notice what I just did. I positioned the packages. If you just say this package and this package, you just say this price and this price, you'll find some people that I could have actually gotten started with a higher commitment going with lower commitment because they're thinking cost. They're not thinking value. So position the packages. Okay, now my person says, you know what? I'm serious about changing my life. I'm going to get started with the platinum package. Perfect. Pause right here. This is where most network marketers mess up this whole process. They start talking right now. Their prospect is closed. Their prospect is excited. They just have to put their credit card information onto a piece of paper into the computer system to get to finalize this whole process. This is where most amateurs screw this up, where they start talking because now they got a little excited. Oh my goodness, this is about to happen. I'm about to sign up my first person, about to sign up my whatever. They start to get a little excited. Remember, you're a professional, smooth, calm, collected, all right? So right now is where you simply, if you're over the phone with somebody, if you're at meeting with them in person, if it's in a group presentation or whatever, all right, here's what you're going to do based on these different scenarios. And we're going to wrap this up now that you've gone through the close, because that's really all it comes down to. And I'm going to give you some more questions to use. But if it's over the phone, don't give them, this is another thing not to do, do not give them your website and say, okay, go sign up, here's my link. All right, you're going to lose a lot of people that way. A lot of times people will just not sign up. It's just not a good idea. You want to continue to lead them through the process. And so guide them through it. Whether you walk them through it, you're on the phone with them right that second, you walk them through it on their computer. The best way, and the way that I do it the most, is the way I teach my team to do it, is I, first off, assume the close, ask them, okay, which package are you going to get started with? They say, yes, I'm going to get started with a platinum package or whatever. Awesome. The very next question that you ask is basically filling in that application. Nothing else. No conversations, no side talk, no jittery stuff. Straight to business right away. So I will then say, okay, what address do you want your business kit sent to? And I'll start putting that in right on the spot. I'll put it into the computer system for them. Remember, when I said that you're expecting people to get signed up, that meant you already had your website open, ready for that follow-up call. Or that you, when you're sitting down with someone, you already had the application there. All right. Okay, perfect. Where do you want to have your business kit sent to? And you've got a pen writing for them, filling out that application with them. Already on the spot, right there, ready. That's what expectation does. It's prepared for that yes. So that's the question. Where do you want to have your business kit sent to? Basically, they're giving me the address. So I start putting on the address. Okay, perfect. Now write down their name. Okay, what's the date of birth? And I walk them through the sign-up process. Now, most companies in network marketing ask for a social security number on the actual application. There are a few companies that wait until someone's actually earned a commission of like $500, $600. before then, they send them a little notice, hey, we need your social so we can report your income to the government. Now, one thing that tripped me up in the early years was actually just asking for the order. I was uncomfortable asking for the credit card, and I was uncomfortable asking for the social security number, most of the time because my belief level wasn't very high. And I already talked about that at the beginning of this training. So that's going to be a hurdle for you if you don't see the value in this. You can't get paid in the business unless you have your social security number. They're not taking your social security number so they can do anything with your social security number. It's for tax purposes. It's for the government. The government wants your social security number. Your company can care less about the social security number. It's the government that wants it. So when you talk to them about that, here's what I say. When you take the name, the email address, the phone number, their mailing address, typically the next thing is to ask for their social security number. If it's weird to you, it's going to be weird to them. So just move straight through it. Don't even think about it. Just simply say this. Say, for tax purposes, what's your social? And look right down the paper. Or if it's on the phone, for tax purposes, they need your social. What's that? And just expect them to give it to you. I'm telling you this, 99 times out of 100, out of 100 people I've talked to, people just give the information right on the spot because you didn't make it weird. Because I didn't make it weird. At the very beginning, when I first got started and didn't know this and didn't understand the power of assumption and leadership and all that stuff in the conversation, yeah. She said, what do they need my social for? No, I'm not uncomfortable. I'm not comfortable with this and all this. So that I would lose the prospect right then. Remember, this, you're not done yet leading them or guiding them. So you continue to do that. And so I just simply, for tax purposes, they need your social. What's that? What is that? All right. Or tax ID number, whatever, if they have a company. All right. Put that in. All right, now you've gotten point almost all the way through. Now you're at the point where it's time to get their order, which is their actual credit card information. So now I've got the information down except for the credit card information. I say, okay, how are you paying? Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. I name those off. I list those off for them. So when I ask the question, how are you paying? Remember, there's the assumption that they're going to pay, that they are going to sign up. So what you'll find is people just follow along. Okay, yeah. I'll use Visa. They answer the question. I'm going to use Visa. I'm going to use MasterCard. Can I use my debit card? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Perfect. What's the number? What's the code? And just take the information down like a professional. How's the name spelled in the back? Is the billing address different from the shipping address? Okay, perfect. Awesome. And then set up, put it in the system, wait for the confirmation message, or if it's on a paper application, write all that stuff down, fax into corporate, however you submit your applications that way. Several key points here. Closing is a good thing. You get paid when you close. Your brand new person starts a journey that could change their life when you help them close or help them get closed effectively to get them signed up. You also have to lead your prospect through this whole thing, and the assumption that they're going to get started is incredibly, incredibly important. Remember this now. You ask them several key questions. I'm just going to list these off again for you. These are questions I ask every single time I'm sitting down with a prospect in person or over the phone. Well, however the case may be, it's right when it's time for the closing question. I say, okay, perfect. Which package are you looking to get started with? I talk about the little package, and then I position the big package as the one they really want to get started with by the value that it has. And I talk about that if you're really serious about the goal that you told me, that's the fastest way to get there is with the top package. All right. Then right after that, I say, okay, perfect. Where do you want to have your business kit sent to? And just assume that they're coming on board. Awesome. How do you spell your name? How do you want to have your, the other question I use is how do you want to have your name spelled on your checks? That's how I get their name as well. All right. So where do you want to have your business kit sent to? How do you want to have your name spelled on your checks? And write that down. For when it comes down again, the social security number, you know, all it comes down to is just saying for tax purposes, the company needs your social. What's that? Assume that it's okay with them. Get the information. Next thing is, how are you paying today? Visa, American Express, MasterCard, Discover. And then name those off and then let them give you the number and you just fill the information in. As soon as you're done, here's what you need to do. As soon as you're done, don't just sign up, hang up, and get off to the next conversation. Tell them this. You made an incredible decision today to get started with us. I'm really excited to be on board with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to introduce you to some of our team so they get a chance to welcome you on board. Have that conversation with them because now you want them to feel like they not only made the right decision, but it has to feel good for them too. And by social interaction with other people, maybe introducing them to some people on your team that you're working with, maybe introducing them into their Facebook group, making a big deal about this because it is a big deal. If you're just thinking about the commission that you made, you're thinking about the wrong thing. You need to be thinking about your brand new person opening up a complete journey for themselves into the land of entrepreneurship, and it could take them, who knows where it could take them. It's up to them where they go with it. But because they said yes to you, who knows where the life could end up. And for most people to take it seriously and follow through as a professional, it completely changes their life. And so you just gave them that opportunity. Celebrate for them more than you celebrate for you. They will feel good about it, and they'll be excited to take the next step, which is to start their business and launch their business. Guys, we've talked through a lot of stuff here. A lot of stuff. And if there's anything I can say to, as we close this out here at the end of our session together, is this, is that at the end of the day, we get paid for two things. I said this earlier, bringing on new customers and bringing on new distributors. But our product, yes, we may think that your product is whatever potion or lotion, and I hate to say it like that, but you guys know what I mean. Make sure you do know what I mean. I love the products that you're representing. Love them, whatever they may be. Or if it's a service, if it's product, whatever, they make a difference in people's lives. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be representing them, all right, outside of the money. And that's what our products do in people's lives. But also the opportunity changes people's lives. You know what our real product is? It's not necessarily the lotion that you're selling, the potion that you're selling, the ingredients that your product has and nobody else has. It's not necessarily the service that you're promoting. It's not even really the compensation plan that you have. It's not really the third-party credibility. You know what you're selling? You're selling hope and opportunity. Hope and opportunity have changed the way this world operates, because there was a couple of people hundreds of years ago that escaped from Europe, came to the United States with a simple dream of being able to live life that they wanted, the way that they wanted to. That was hope. They came with hope, didn't really have much of a plan, just decided to come to this new country and created an amazing legacy for us and even for the world that's changed as a result of the decision that those people, those pilgrims, made hundreds and hundreds of years ago, because they stepped out in faith. You stepping forward right now into your network marketing business may not be the same thing as hopping on the Mayflower and running across the ocean to a new country. It may not feel that way. But in terms of the significance that it can make in your life, the journey that it can set you on, the path that it will set you on, the impact it can make on your life and on your family's life, how is that any less? To be able to be free, to live the life that you want, to have the freedom that you know that you deserve and that you've worked hard for, and to be able to pass that on to somebody else, that's what makes this business so incredible. But if we don't step up to the plate as leaders, as professionals, to polish our skills, to maximize our opportunities, then it doesn't matter how much hope and opportunity we have if we don't fully actualize that in our life as well. My goal for you and for myself is that we don't only just take advantage of these opportunities that we've been given and blessed with, and the freedom that we have to go off and create businesses for ourselves with this, in the side of this incredible industry, but to go off there and impact someone else's life. And when you've been able to communicate with someone effectively about your business, just like we've learned over these four audios, and I want you to listen to them over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until they become automatic, and then listen to them some more so you know how to teach them to other people. And up until that point, that's what we have to do to really elevate other people's hope and the promise of opportunity, because people have gone through some stuff. We've gone through some things. You've probably gone through some things where right now you don't even know if it's worth hoping anymore. But I'm here to tell you that it absolutely is. But hope alone is not a strategy. You have to build your skill sets, and you've been doing that now by going on this journey with me through this audio series, The Language of the Business. Our product is not just the pills, the shakes. It's not just the services. It's not just any of the products that we out are representing. It's not even the compensation plan. It is hope and opportunity, guys. So go off there and be an ambassador for hope, be an ambassador for opportunity, and let's go change the world together. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Go off there and crush it within your business right now. Please send me a message on Facebook or by email. Let me know how this course has made a difference for you. I sincerely hope that it has. Thank you for allowing me to spend some time with you. And until we talk again, my challenge to you is that you dream and then find a way.